everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. My name is Peggy Ployer, and I'm the host of this weekly broadcast put on by Sped Homeschool, as well as its founder and CEO. We at Sped Homeschool empower families to home educate children with learning challenges, and I just encourage you to check out our website at spedhomeschool.com to learn more about the resources that we offer families, including this broadcast and a whole lot more of other things that you'll find on our website. I am super excited today to introduce you to my guest, Terry McKee. Terry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So we are kicking off a new topic, because every month we focus on a different topic. We just finished up school choice last month. And this month we are focusing on homeschooling amidst medical issues, a variety. And that is exactly what the title is of our show today, because Terry's going to bring in a mix of a whole lot of things that God has brought her family in and through, and she has a lot of wisdom to share. So Terry, thank you so much for being with us and just being willing to be open and to share with us just some encouragement as well as wisdom.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah. So just to get kicked off, I want our audience to know that we are live for a reason, because we would love for you to be part of this conversation as well. So whether you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube, just know that if you make comments in the feed, that we would love to include you in this conversation. Of course, I would love for them to be helpful comments. Sometimes we get spammers on, and I try to take care of that. But we want, we do this live because we know that a lot of times it's really hard to get an interactive conversation when you have children who struggle. A lot of times the world we live in does not understand our families, and we are a safe place. And so just know that. But wherever you're coming from, we'd love to have you put in the feed where you're watching from. I said last week I was in Jacksonville Beach in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm back in Houston now. So glad to be back in my house instead of my trailer broadcasting. And Terry, you live where?
In Gastonia, North Carolina, which is outside of Charlotte.
Great. Yes. So technology is bringing us together, and we'd love for you to be part of our conversation as well. So make sure you take advantage of that if you're watching live. And if you're joining us on a recorded feed, we would love for you to join us sometime. Just know that our normal broadcast is on Tuesdays from 12:30 to 1:30 Central Time. So you'll always catch us then. But so Terry, we're talking about homeschooling amidst medical issues, and I would love for our audience just to get to know you a little bit. Sure. And so if you could just tell us a little bit about you and your homeschooling journey, and then about your website, Homeschooling One Child, and how that came about as well.
Sure. Well, I am married with four children. It's a blended family. I get this all mixed up every time, but the two oldest are mine biologically from my previous marriage. And then we have his daughter biologically, which is the third child. Mm-hmm. And then we have one together who is turning 12 in April.
Wow.
The time flies. And so the oldest three are either married or out of the house. Mm. So we're left with our baby. And the oldest three went through the public school system. So, and the oldest is has autism, epilepsy, bipolar disorder, ADHD, intellectual disability. But he lives out of the house in his own little apartment for the disabled adults, him and his cat. The cat is very important because she gives him something to take care of. She's a calico, which means she talks all the time. And she really keeps him on his toes. And she wakes him up all the time when he takes a nap. So she's a support cat, if there is such a thing. One never knows if cats are willing to be a support animal, but
I think they do out of necessity sometimes, because they just need the attention.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But homeschooling one child came about because we decided to homeschool our last child at home, mm-hmm. Laura, our baby, who's not such a baby anymore. But we decided in, I think it was July of 2015, to homeschool her from kindergarten on up.
Okay.
And so we started with the best of intentions in August, August 1st, and homeschooling her in kindergarten. And it was a delight. Mm. It was an absolute delight. And then, and I'll get more into this later, a little bit later, but and that November of 2015, our lives took a drastic turn.
Mm.
And we decided that at that time, that life was just too hard to add homeschool on top of it, with everything that we had going on, medically speaking.
Yeah.
So we decided to put her into public school, and we found out that because of a lot of different things, we discovered she has dyslexia.
Mm.
And she also has chronic migraines and ADHD.
Mm.
So we're a family of special needs.
Mm-hmm.
Between our oldest, who has autism and a whole host of things, to my second son, he has ADHD. Okay. And then my third daughter, or my oldest daughter, my third child, we don't do the half step thing.
Yeah. They're your kids.
Mm-hmm. They're my kids, you know. And so my oldest daughter, she has juvenile diabetes. And so I've been taking care of her since she was 15 months old. So I was her babysitter before I was her stepmom. And yeah, she likes to throw that out. And my dad married my nanny. And I'm like, you know, let's not go this route. Let's don't do that. No. And so we got started homeschooling this one child. And most, you know, a lot of my homeschooling friends have multiple children.
Right. Yes. You
know, they have the 15th
the culture.
Band,
yeah. You know, yes, exactly.
And all the goats and everything. And,
Right.
And we, I just had the one. So I felt like out of touch with homeschool reality, you know. But I discovered in searching for homeschooling material and ideas and encouragement that there was very little on homeschooling just one child.
Yeah.
It was the, you know, we both have a lot of blogger friends and and they're geared toward homeschooling multiple children.
Right.
And the resources I was finding was for multiple ages, multiple children, et cetera, and not just for the difficulties and the challenges and the opportunities of homeschooling just one.
Right.
So when I was at a 2-to-1 conference.
That's where we met.
That's where we met. Mm-hmm. And I was at a 2-to-1 conference and the Lord just really, I had a blog at the time. It was for Christian encouragement. And honestly, to be very frank, monetizing a Christian encouragement blog is not successful at all. And I felt like even though I was doing the Lord's work and encouraging people and reaching people in Russia and China with the gospel and Africa, and people were coming to know Jesus, that's not, the Lord was laying something else on my heart. And that was to homeschool, to provide resources and help and encouragement to parents homeschooling just one. So at 2-to-1, I was talking with some friends and I said, you know, I'm thinking about this blog and, about homeschooling one child. And The feedback I got was just incredible. You know, there that would make it, that would be great for SEO. That would be all the technical jargon and, you know, and they like, you can monetize that. You can do incredible things with that. So that night I went upstairs after that session ended and hopped on my site. My I use Weebly. I don't use WordPress or anything, but hopped on Weebly and bought homeschoolingonechild.com. I was like, well, it's going to be live in 2 hours. So and, so I went back downstairs the next morning and told my friend who I was talking with, I'm like, it's live. It's not set up yet, but I have the domain. And after that, it's just, it's been a roller coaster of faith and grace and the Lord's favor and just making things happen for parents who are homeschooling a single child or an only child. Or because of my special needs background with children with special needs, I say that homeschooling is the ultimate individualized educational plan. So even though it homeschooling one child is tailored toward singletons. You know, when we homeschool a special needs child, no matter how many children we have, we still have to homeschool one child.
Right. That is so true.
We have to tailor to that. And even if a child doesn't have special needs per se, like autism or dyslexia or whatever, that, you know, say a child is gifted, that's still a special need. And if a child doesn't have anything related to special needs, they still have to have an individualized educational plan for them, for themselves. So,
And the popularity right now, you know, when I looked at some of, or I was hearing some statistics, there's, there's so many parents that are choosing to just like parent teach one child, maybe online teach another child, send another child to private school, one to public school. It's like they're making all the options at the same time. And so, a lot of people fit in every category now. They aren't just in one. And so, so easily they could be homeschooling one child and still have multiple kids.
I was thrilled one the other night when I went to bed and I was, you know, on my phone playing my online game, as you do. And I got this message popped up and it was from a new subscriber. She had liked my Facebook page that's for homeschooling one child. And she said, is this just for singletons? Like if I'm homeschooling an only? I said, yes. And she said, I've been looking everywhere for something like this. Thank you so much. And I was like, she said, it's an answer to prayer. And that just thrilled me to no end, because that is exactly why God led me to do that.
Yeah. We just don't know where it's going to go. I mean,
no, absolutely.
I bought spedhomeschool.com way before sped homeschool was sped homeschool. That's a long story and I'm not going into it, but yeah. And God just kept increasing that desire to do something with it. So
absolutely.
He just don't know, but it's obedience. You know, you just don't know what, where that obedience is going to take you. So yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. That, I just hope that's an encouragement to many of you. If you're feeling like you need to step out, do something, maybe just make a new friend. You know, you just don't know where that's going to go and grow from. And So, you know, as we dive into this issue of homeschooling amidst medical issues, how has your life in homeschooling been impacted by medical issues? If you want to just dive in.
I'll dive in. Like I said, you know, all my children have varying degrees of special needs. That has been from the very beginning. My daughter, Laura, who I homeschool, she's almost 12 years old. She was diagnosed at 4 years old with chronic migraines.
Wow.
And if you've never had a migraine, count yourself very fortunate. If you've have migraines, just imagine a four-year-old getting those.
Wow.
And, you know, she has spent many a night in the hospital, hospitalized to get those down. And when she was little, she was having a lot of them. And it really became debilitating.
Wow.
But when we were homeschooling her in kindergarten, we would take, she would have a migraine day maybe once a month. Normally chronic migraines for adults, you're having like more than 15 a month.
Wow.
But for a child of that age, you know, one or two a month, that's chronic. But because 4-year-olds are not supposed to get migraines.
They're not, right, exactly.
I mean, my goodness. But I'm pulling on my thing. It's going to come out of my ear and fly in and kill a cat or something. but the year that we were homeschooling Laura in kindergarten, we went to my in-law's house at the time in Lynchburg, Virginia for Thanksgiving. And we were getting ready to come back, and we had my little girl, Laura, and my son, my youngest son, Jacob, the one just has ADHD. and he was home from his, he was in college at Western Carolina at the time. So he was home on, you know, Thanksgiving break. And my husband, Greg. And the, it was just the four of us. My oldest son was with his grandparents at Thanksgiving. That's his thing. He likes to go there for with his dad's parents. And my oldest daughter was in Ohio with her mother. So we kind of had a split family situation. But we were coming back from Lynchburg Saturday night, because we wanted to go to church on Sunday, at our church. And we stopped and had dinner, and all of us had a lot of sweet tea. And I'm in the South, so we drink sweet tea. And so all of us had a lot of sweet tea. And by the time we got 2 hours down the road, and we were about an hour away from home, it was at that point where we could not make it home.
You know, I understand that. We were just on the road for a week. Yeah, I get it.
So we stopped at a rest area in a town north of Charlotte called Concord. And people up north would call it Concord. We don't do that here in the South.
Right.
We have to enunciate every syllable just to make sure we say it correctly. Right. Concord. not Concord. But we stopped there to go to the bathroom, and we stopped at a rest area. And the four of us walked in. They had two buildings, one which is very important. One was for the vending machine area, and the other one was for the restrooms. And we were walking toward the restrooms, because obviously.
Yeah.
And
but we noticed that as fast as you could.
And we noticed that there were two guys waiting at the doors, and they were both smoking cigarettes and stuff and just hanging out, which is not unusual at rest areas. You know, you get truck drivers and everything just wanting to stretch their legs,
right,
whatever, and or just normal travelers. But it was like 8 o'clock at night. But the four of us and those two guys were the only ones there, and the maintenance man, the janitor, was there inside. Well, we all do our business, but my Greg, that's funny. My husband, Greg, he was not to be weird and gross or anything, but he was regular. Let's just say that. And it was that time. And so Jacob came out of the bathroom, as did Laura and I. And Laura was 6 years old, 5 years old at this point. And we, I looked at my watch and I was like, oh, great. We're going to be a while. And we walked outside to let Laura run around. You know, you're traveling with a 5-year old who has ADHD and she's hyper and everything.
Oh, yeah. I remember the days. Yes.
And so I just, Jacob was chasing her around the outside in the courtyard. And I was watching them, but I was facing the two guys just because I was. It just happened that I was in that beeline watch. You know, I could look at them. Well, I noticed that they were sizing up my son. They were looking at him very intently and looking at us. And then they looked at each other and threw the cigarettes down and walked inside. And at the time, I didn't think anything about it. You know, maybe I didn't even, you know, you don't question someone's purpose or what why they're doing. But not 30 seconds later, we hear bam and a gunshot. And those two guys ran out, and there were sliding glass doors. They ran out. And when they ran out and opened the doors, I could hear my husband screaming, "Help me, help me."
Oh, no.
And I ran, Jacob and Laura and I ran inside. And there was my husband in the men's restroom on the floor on his face. And he had been shot in the back. And those two guys who they went into the men's bathroom. Greg had been washing his hands and they put a gun to his head and he just bolted to run. And when he got 3 feet away, they shot. And the police said at the time, or not at the time, but during the trial, that it was a kill shot. It was, he's supposed to be dead.
Wow.
But God, in his infinite mercy, he, even though that man fired, you know, pulled the trigger and fired the shot, God placed the bullet. Because it actually wedged into his T12 vertebrae and welded in his T12 vertebrae to the point that it cannot never be removed. It's still in there.
Wow.
But a half inch in any direction and it would have gone through his abdomen and been from 3 feet away, it would have killed him instantly. And so it ended up being, it was this whole big manhunt, everything. But Greg ended up having to go to the hospital, obviously. And he's paralyzed. That happened in Thanksgiving of 2015. And he was instantly paralyzed. He had blood coming from his nose because when he was shot, he fell with such force because his legs were immediately, the spinal cord was immediately severed.
Wow.
And he fell through that. He still has the imprint of the tile on his face. And so he broke his nose and blood and everything. But, you know, he never lost consciousness, which is such a God thing. Because before, when he would cut his finger, you know, he had 30 seconds before he was passed out.
Oh, no.
You know, if he cut his finger on a table saw once, just nicked it, ran inside, sat on the toilet. He said, "I'm out." And he was out.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, but this time God strengthened him and he never lost consciousness, even though he was staring at his, you know, blood. And so that he could give a correct ID to the police officers about those two men who he saw face to face. So one man was caught within 3 days and the other man was caught, like 3 weeks later. But they were gang members and just wanting to score some drug money. But the thing is, they never took anything out of his wallet. They never took his wallet out of his pants. I did that. But the only thing he had in his wallet was his quarter for Aldi. for the shopping parts for all of them. That's the only thing he had. And some credit cards, but that was it. Mm. But they never took that. They just shot him and ran. Mm. So, but that incident, he was in the hospital for, he came home December 23rd. So we only had like a day or two to get ready for Christmas.
Right.
But our church had come in after the shooting and blessed us. God just really took us and showed us his power and presence and peace by there was a GoFundMe account, and our church renovated our house to make it wheelchair accessible.
Wow.
And made widened doors, put in a handicapped bathroom, for renovated our master bath, which was, you know, it's funny because God only always takes the things we hate, you know, and then turns them around and uses them to our good. Mm. excuse me, our bathroom before the shooting, you walk in and there's like these two closets on the side, two tiny closets on the side, and you walk in and there's tub, sink, and toilet. And not like a double sink, it was just a single sink. And tiny master bathroom. I mean, the house was built in 86 when apparently large master baths weren't a thing. But, you know, but God took this bathroom and the closet situation that I absolutely hated with a passion, because there were no doors on the bathroom. So you lay in bed and you see everything that's going on, whether you want to or not. And you walk past your clothes, whether you want to or not. But God brought in this, a friend of one of the pastors who's over the project. And it was so amazing. He said, okay, take these closets out, where this closet is on this right-hand side. You put the toilet there with grab bars and stuff. Mm. Sink, handicap accessible sink on this, in this closet, and this whole bathroom, take the tub, take the toilet out, take the sink out, and that's a shower room.
Oh, wow.
So our bathroom became like what was originally the three-piece bath became a two-header shower room. And God just did incredible things. Hmm. It was like that the whole time. But because of what we thought, Greg would have incredible needs. And he was out of work for 100 days.
Wow.
But then he went back to work. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Passed the plague. Hmm. I mean, he had to go back to work. I was at the point with him. We love each other, but there's only so much, you know, we can...
Right. Yes.
But being in the same confining spot, and I said, "You're going back to work today. I'm driving you. Driving to Charlotte and driving back." And I mean, it was a thing. It was. Hmm. And then he figured out hand controls for a car, and he got a car with the GoFundMe, and we put hand controls in it so he could drive himself to work. But at the time we actually took the advice of some well-meaning friends who thought that we could not homeschool and help Greg at the same time. Looking back on it, I wish I had just stuck to my guns.
Really?
And so we put Laura into public school. And she was in public school for the rest of the kindergarten year and first and second grade. And that was very eye-opening to me because even though she had an IEP, it was just not being followed.
Yeah, that's usually the case, unfortunately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I felt, and she was, they said she's in, at the end of the second grade year, they said, well, she's reading the kindergarten level. She's never going to progress.
Mm-hmm.
But she was, what I realized at the time was she was dealing with trauma.
Oh, yes.
Everything that she was going through was trauma-based.
Mm-hmm.
So I started reading about trauma-based education. Mm-hmm. And everything that she was experiencing was due to the trauma of seeing her daddy shot. And right. she thought he was dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, because she was right there in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we pulled her out at the end of second grade. And I remember at her IEP meeting, the last one, and they said, well, we need you to sign these IEP papers. I was like, you know, there's no need. Because I'm going to homeschool her. I'm bringing her back home. And they said, you can't do that. She has
You got one of those responses. We talked about that a couple months ago. Yes. So tell us how you answered that.
And I said, no. I said, she's my child. She's not your child. You did not birth her. You did not, you know, she's not your child. She's not your responsibility. I said, I have to answer to God for her, not you. And so we just said, here is our homeschool identification paper that had her name on it and our homeschool number, and said, that's all you need. This is her withdrawal. Mm-hmm. And we pulled her out, and I worked with her heavily on reading specifically. And by December of third grade, she was reading on grade level.
Yeah.
So all she needed, but Peggy, she was having during second grade, she was having 28 migraines a month.
Oh, wow. They had increased that much.
They'd increased that much. So she would miss 28 days. Not a month. I'm sorry. A year, 28 days a year of migraine days. But she was having multiple migraines every month, and they would last for days.
Oh, wow.
And it was heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
But,
And the school just gives them days off, right? There's nothing that they try to do to help them with doing stuff at home.
No, absolutely not. I told them, because one of her triggers is sunlight.
Oh, okay.
And I said, you know, she has to wear these sunglasses during recess. And they would say, well, the other kids don't have sunglasses, so she's can't be privileged like that. And I'm like, no, it's in her IEP.
Right.
And somehow, you know, the sunglasses would just not make it outside. So it was one of those things. Plus, Laura has this incredibly active imagination. And she was heavily involved in the imagination of dinosaurs. And so she got into so much trouble because she was making games up on recess that was called Raptor Tag. And where she would chase kids, but she was the T-Rex and they were plant eaters, and she would have to bite them.
Oh, no.
One day she actually, you know, like drew blood.
Oh.
And I got a call. I was like, this is a call I never thought I'd
take. Right.
And Laura explained herself by saying, well, she's an omnivore. I'm a carnivore. That's what we do. I'm like, no, you're so homeschooled. you know, you can eat whatever you want, but not people. But medically speaking, you know, we were faced with so many things that we were faced with caregiving for my husband. At the time, Jacob, when the shooting happened, Jacob left school and came home. Because he was dealing with trauma. So he moved back in. Sam had been at a group home, but then a year after the shooting, there was abuse at the group home. So we pulled him out and he came back home.
And so, you always think they're leaving permanently and then they come back.
Now Jacob is married and lives in a camper, but on property. So he's kind of back. But medically speaking, you know, we were dealing with so much. It wasn't just one person. It was, right. It was our whole family. Plus I was taking care of my elderly mother at the time, who's passed on. But homeschool allowed us the flexibility to not have to worry about getting her up at 7 a.m. or 6:30 a.m. to meet the bus.
Right. Yeah. Being on somebody else's schedule. Mm-hmm.
And homeschool allowed us to take breaks when we needed to and go to doctor appointments without fear of, you know, that note. You have to have the note. And
right.
Medically speaking, we incorporated all the medical stuff into homeschool.
Hmm. You
know, Laura learned very early how to take blood pressure. And so she has been saying now for years that she wants to be a doctor. But she wants to be a doctor to get the bullet out of daddy's back.
Oh.
And, you know, it's makes you cry just thinking about it. But medical stuff has been with us, and developmental stuff, developmentally speaking, with intellectual disability, autism, everything. And right. we've learned how, like when Greg was in the hospital, we said, well, we know how to deal with this because we have to be on a structure with Sam, our one with autism. So we can be on a structure with your paralysis and your needs. So it really helped us translate the skill sets, you know, transfer the skill sets that we've learned with one to another.
Right.
And so we've incorporated those skill sets into the homeschool.
Yeah, that's a great
point. Our home, it's life skills. You know, like taking care of dad, Laura's dad, it's a life skill situation. But now he's now it's 5 years. He's been playing wheelchair basketball.
Oh, okay.
And for the Charlotte Rolling Hornets. And he's now a starter for them. And when I'm speaking at the Teach Them Diligently conference in Texas at the end of March, he's going to be in Kansas at the National Wheelchair Basketball Championship.
Wow.
So we're just going that way. It's just you know, there are lots of positive and negative things with having so many medical needs, but incorporating them in homeschool, it makes it more normal.
That's a really good point. Yes, because that is it's the foundation from that everybody's living.
Right.
And and there it's not obscure that, yes, we have to take care of this medical need and then do this assignment. And and that's how life is anyways. We don't live segmented from our disability. No. Our disability is with us.
Absolutely.
And the that's a great point to just even, you know, promote homeschooling, especially for kids with struggles and disabilities, because we can normalize their lives so much more instead of society saying, well, this is how you're different and this is how we're going to label you. And we have to work around you because it's different than what we do, where, you know, within your home, this is the norm. This is what we do.
It's one of my pet peeves is saying that, my son, I have an ADHD son. Or my son, I have an autistic son. You know, it's like saying I have a brown-haired mom.
Right.
Or a gray-haired mom, depending on the night. But, you know, when you say, well, my son is autistic, that becomes a part of him. Instead, What I've always done is say my son has autism or my son has ADHD. Mm-hmm. It's something that they have that they're working through. It's not them.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like saying I am tall, but I am tall.
You are tall. I know, because I'm short and I'm stood next to you.
It's like saying, like, if I like to read books, you know, that's like saying Terry is a book. No, yeah. Terry has books. But Terry's not a book.
And there, you have a whole variety of books to choose from. And one book is not like the other. Yes. No. Yeah. That's a very good illustration. Yeah. Yeah. I always say, well, we're just in our house. We're all on the spectrum. Absolutely. So you'll find us somewhere in there.
That's a great point, Peggy, because when you have a household that has special needs, it makes it run more efficiently and effectively if the whole household can get on that same spectrum schedule.
You know,
if everyone knows what's going on, you know, every night we know that between this time and this time, Greg is taking care of his bowel movement, bowel program, you know, and they call it in the hospital a bowel program. Well, to us, you know, on the outside, you know, where's Greg at if someone comes to the door? You know, where's Greg? He's busy. What's he doing? He's bowel program.
You know? Right.
And it doesn't sound, it sounds weird, but when you normalize it, you know, it just becomes part of the family. Like for my son, Sam, when he lived here, you know, when he would have, he had this thing about straw wrappers, like it, and he would freak out, like have a full on meltdown if he had touched a straw wrapper. Because it was trash and he hates trash.
Oh.
Ironically, his apartment is never clean.
Yeah, that's always interesting.
It's that oddity. But he doesn't have any straw wrappers. He doesn't use straws at all because of the fear of straw wrappers. But when he was at here, you know, we knew that if there was a straw wrapper, if there was a straw brought into the house, the straw wrapper needed to go in the trash. Period. Just one, it's trash. It is trash. Two, to minimize those meltdowns.
Right. You want to accommodate the people within the house when you know their needs.
And when we know those triggers, then we need to, you know, do something about them.
Antagonize
them.
Yes, exactly. Or say, why don't you just get on the program and be like everybody else? Well,
deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, there are sometimes I told my kids that, but it wasn't something that they were struggling with. Yeah. You know, So I got a question for you. You know, when your daughter is dealing with migraines, I'm assuming that is still an issue.
Yes, but she only has like one or two a month and they're hormonal now.
Okay.
So, or when she gets very stressed.
And so usually, you know some of the triggers that...
I know the triggers, like nitrates and lunch meat.
Well, that can set off a lot of things with a lot of people.
Yes.
Yes.
So, that I have migraines, a lot of migraines, but one of my triggers is also nitrates. So that and sunlight. So we share some triggers. So, you know, a lot of room darkening curtains, and watch what we eat,
you know,
and not bring it in the house.
Right. Yeah. And so when they do happen, what do you modify for school? How does that look if she wakes up with a migraine?
She does not want to be where there's any light or noise. So we just take an off day.
Yeah.
I mean, we, you know, I can't function with a migraine.
Right.
But why should I expect her to? So, you know, she gets a bye that day. Mm-hmm. You know, but, and we just take it up what we, you know, scheduling, homeschool scheduling is the hardest thing for me at the beginning of the year. I set out with great intentions of scheduling. I've planned it all out.
I used to do that. Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I can't do this. Mm-hmm. So we just, because of the, if she has a migraine between, you know, during the Revolutionary War, mm-hmm. then what are we going to do? We're going to just, you know, we're going to just pause.
Right.
And then have a day. They can battle it out later. And then, mm-hmm. we're, you know, they can continue on the next day.
Right.
But and a lot of times my oldest son, Sam, who's, you know, he's moved out, but he needs me on occasion to take him grocery mm-hmm. shopping. He doesn't drive, and he has appointments that he has to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So we have mastered road schooling.
Yes.
We have, in my van, we have this DVD thing that comes mm-hmm. up, you know, and I'll put in a DVD for Laura or a audiobooks,
yes.
on CDs, mm-hmm. and we listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's invaluable. You can do a whole lot of homeschooling in vans or vehicles.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been known to take a clipboard of her worksheets and to waiting rooms.
Oh, yeah.
Work on it there mm-hmm. and just get the work done. I don't care where or how. Mm-hmm. I care how a little bit, but yeah. where, you know. If you want to do your homeschool work on the couch, that's fine. My recliner, that's fine. Unless I want to sit in it.
Mm-hmm.
The table, you know. And if you want to be in your pajamas, fine. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many ways to learn. Yeah. I'm not going to limit her ability to learn because of legalistic stuff.
Mm, that's good. Yeah. You know? And our kids need that flexibility more so than more of their typical peers. And it's good for them to know, this is how I learn best. I mean, we got one of those sit-stand desks for our son. Mm-hmm. And because of his back issues, he can't sit all the time. And he right. can't stand all the time. So he's mm-hmm. constantly moving up and down and up and down. And so you hear this crank going. And but yeah. it works. Mm-hmm. And if we were to say, well, you know, working looks like this, and that's how you have to do it, it would just right. be miserable.
Absolutely. I mean, when Laura was in the public school for those 2.5 years, you know, she had to sit at a desk, not move.
Mm.
She could not talk to other people. And then they worry about us socializing as homeschoolers. You know, but now when right. we go to a park, we have play dates when mm-hmm. it's warm.
Right.
You know, you can't do a play date when it's 20 degrees outside, but yeah, it's hard.
Well, you could. We lived in Minnesota. That was 6 months out of the year, so we made it work.
Yeah, it's a little difficult here because we're not prepared for it here
right.
in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't have the jacket situation going on.
Right.
But when we do have play dates, you know, this unsocialized homeschooler is the one, you know, gathering up the kids and making right. games of tag, and I'll yell, you know, no raptor tag.
Yeah, right.
No, no raptor tag. No dinosaur stuff. And she's the one coordinating, you know, kids playing with one another and making sure that the kids that are hanging on the outside are pulled in to the group.
Mm.
You know, yeah. and it's pretty special like that, but yet, you know, we're unsocialized. Well, no, we don't live in a cave. We get yeah. out, you know, but
it's so true. Yeah. Well, you know, as we've got about 10 minutes left, and I definitely want you to share about some other things
sure.
with our audience, but, you know, if you were to just give, the most important thing that you want mm-hmm. families to know, that if they're homeschooling amidst medical issues, you know, with like spouse, themselves, their children, what would you want them to know? What's the most important thing you want them to know, and why?
Take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
take care of yourself. I used to think, my doctor even thought I had RA, rheumatoid arthritis, and I had very bad days, as you know. Mm-hmm. Joints would hurt all the time. I was fatigued. And basically, if I found a rheumatologist that would actually listen to me, and it turns out I do not have RA.
Really?
I had, my vitamin D level had bottomed out, and I was not taking care of myself. You cannot pour from an empty cup.
Yeah.
So if once I started taking these vitamin D tablets, like the 50,000 milligram of weekly vitamin D, but I had to take them twice a week.
Yeah.
Still do. But ever since then, it's been like 2 months now, and I have seen a drastic improvement. Mm. My joints don't hurt anymore. I have energy. Mm. I can get in the floor with minimal assistance.
That's a great thing.
Yeah. And I can walk around the neighborhood and not feel bad.
Mm.
So, but you have to,
the Lord.
Absolutely. But you have to take care of yourself to take care of your family who has medical needs. So yes. Oftentimes we neglect ourselves because we just don't have time to take care of ourselves, but we have to.
Right. Yeah. It's a staggering rate of parents, especially mothers who have chronic illnesses. And if they are diagnosed with something fatal, will pass because we haven't taken care of ourselves. I mean, as Terry knows, I battled breast cancer a year and a half ago. And yeah, I wasn't taking care of myself. I admit it. And you just don't want to find yourself in that place.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Great advice. Yes. And it's simple. It's simple things like diet and walking and just paying attention,
drinking water.
Yes. Breathing deeply.
Breathing deeply. Yeah. I've discovered that is, you know, it's the little things that you can do. You know, get yourself a quart mason jar. You don't have to buy the, you know, I found this water thing that has times on it. But you can get a quart mason jar and like fill it up twice in one day.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, 2 quarts, that's half a gallon of water.
That's half a gallon. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, and 4 times is a whole gallon. So that's good. I mean, if you can have it measured instead of using a glass, you don't know how much you drink.
Right. You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I fill them up in the morning, you know, and I just kind of pour from them into my cup because I don't like drinking out of them, but
yeah,
whatever works.
Whatever works.
When I'm at the gym, I drink out of the big one, but yes. Well, that's great advice. So you have something exciting coming up, and I'd love for you to talk about it. Terry is going to be hosting another. Well, I'll let you share about it.
in 2020, I had the first homeschooling special needs online conference, and it was huge success. And I'm creating and developing the second homeschooling special needs online conference, and it's launching May 21st. Awesome. Peggy is going to be a speaker, and Sped Homeschool is the sponsor of it. And I'm just thrilled about that. But so far we have about 6 speakers lined up, eight, counting me. So 8 speakers, count me. But
it's increasing speakers. As we talk.
But we have 8 speakers lined up so far with right at 20 sessions.
Awesome.
And I'm working on getting some heavy hitter keynotes. So, so it's going to be great. It's going to be powerful. The focus this time is more on the science and advocacy of special needs as it relates to homeschooling and therapies as well.
Good.
Yeah. So it's, heavy on therapies this time, which I'm thrilled about. But it's not just autism or ADHD. It's dyslexia. It's Downs. It's, you know, whatever.
Great.
It's a medical, medical chronic diseases and stuff like that when you're homeschooling a child with that disorder. So you can find out more information about that at homeschooling one child with the number one. There you go. Homeschoolingonechild.com. And just click on courses at the top, and it's the first one that pops up.
Awesome.
So, and the registration page for that will be coming up soon.
Okay.
I just have to make it.
Yeah. In the midst of your busyness. She's actually writing a book this week. So, yes.
So, in preparation to speak and teach them diligently in Texas and Tennessee. So,
very cool.
Lots of good things going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have more information on homeschooling one child. Again, that website is homeschooling with the number one child.com. If you're listening on the podcast and trying to visualize that, that's how I remember things. But yeah, that would be great. So, well, thank you for sharing your story, Terry. I know it's hard sometimes, but it also is healing to do that.
It is healing. And the more I share it, you know, the more healed I get from it. So but the Lord has been very good, and he's taught us so much about himself through all this all these things, and which has been a huge blessing.
It's how you look at it, how you move forward in it, and take what you learn and share with others and to give them hope and you have shared some hope today. And so thank you for doing that with our audience. I greatly appreciate that. So, we appreciate that. And for kicking off our theme this month of homeschooling amidst medical issues, because, we're going to dive into some things. I'm actually still looking for a guest, for later this month. So who knows, you may just get me for the hour. We'll see, but, we just want to thank our audience for also joining us on this episode of Empowering Homeschool Conversations. Absolutely. You know, this is just one of the many resources we at Sped Homeschool make available to families. We actually have the number one special needs homeschooling blog out there. And our YouTube channel, if you're watching on YouTube, I think we're close to, we're almost to 900 videos, and I think we've almost got 2,100 subscribers now. So, we love our audience there. We love when you make comments and share our videos. Just do a search, you know, in the search bar, because there's so many of, we take these long videos like this interview with Terry, and next week you'll see four shorter segments of this same interview with just little snippets that if you didn't watch the whole thing, you're kind of catching us at the end. Maybe you want to catch a little bit and say, oh, what else do I have to learn? And maybe I don't have the full hour. Then just watch a 3 to 5 minute video. So that'll encourage you. So yeah. But anyways, and yeah, dig into Terry's website, Homeschooling One Child. She has a lot of wisdom, more than she's shared in this hour to share with you. And I'm excited for your book to come out.
So, I am too. Yeah,
I'm sure you are.
I don't know. Write it.
Yes. That's
God does this week.
Yes, I wrote one book, and I don't know if I can go through that process again ever. So next week we're going to be talking about this same topic, and Stephanie Buckwalter will be with me. If she's been on before, but she's going to talk about home educating a student with an intellectual disability, and she has personal experience with that, as well as works with other families who homeschool children who have lots of delays. And so we're going to talk about, you know, what does that look like and how do we navigate those waters? So that's what we're going to be talking about next week. So we'll be right here, same time, same place. And thanks again, Terry. Just appreciate you and all that you do, and keep up the good work. So, and thanks everybody. You've been quiet today, but we've loved that you've been watching, and we'll catch you next week right here on Empowering Homeschool Conversations. We'll see you then. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Are you concerned about tensions in the Middle East? Do you wonder where we're currently at in the biblical timeline? Are we really in the last days? Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Carl Muller with the Inside the Epicenter podcast. Every week, my co-host, best-selling author Joel Rosenberg, and I answer those questions and more. You'll hear inside knowledge of our meetings with leaders at the highest levels of government in the U.S., Israel, and the Middle East, equipping you to filter the news with biblically sound insights. Find Inside the Epicenter on your favorite podcast app or go to joshuafund.com to listen and subscribe.